Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for October 15th, 2023 is based on Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 18, and Luke chapter 22, verses 1 to 23. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield. The sermon is based on the sermon series Abundance and Generosity and is entitled Remember.
Reading from Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard you complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed." Word of God, word of life. Speak to God.
A reading from Luke. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how they might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, Where do you want us to make preparations for it? Listen, he said to them, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparations for us there. So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to ask one another which of them it could be who would do this. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, as we enter into these 4 weeks of our series on abundance and generosity, we have encouraged you the last couple of weeks to pick up one of these little devotional booklets to take home with you, and you can get some further information about the readings and some prompts and questions for your family to reflect on. While this particular resource is geared towards helping people realize the role that money plays in our lives, both as a blessing and a burden, for conversation, the portion of our service for our words of worship and our sermon will focus less on actual money and stewardship and more on the idea of abundance and generosity. Well, grace and peace to you from God, who remembers each of us throughout all time. Amen. Now, I'm probably going to start my sermon for the next several weeks in the exact same way. Because even though we are typically in this season of stewardship, and this series happens to be called Our Money Story, my sermon's not going to be focused on giving. See, in seminary, they told us the one thing that will make people most nervous in the pews is if you bring up money. Yeah, it's probably why Jesus talks more about money than just about any other issue in the New Testament. Is it because Jesus is concerned with cash, or is it something deeper than that? I would argue that historically, the Christian church has done a pretty horrendous job of separating the ideas of abundance and generosity from the guilt and shame of giving and donations. So often the church has used guilt and shame to strong arm people into giving, which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus wanted. In fact, when he encountered people strong arming donations to the church in the temple, he began flipping over the tables of the money changers. So while the devotions that you're using at home may talk about money and the power that it can have over us, I encourage you to also expand your thinking beyond just the power of wealth to the power that scarcity can often have over our sense of abundance. That will be the focus over our next few weeks. How does the abundance of God have the final power over our mentality of scarcity? I have to acknowledge, first, that we have a sense of scarcity and survival baked into our DNA. If our ancestors centuries ago did not have a sense of scarcity baked into their being, they would have just sat around and eventually died off a long time ago. Our ancient ancestors used to hoard as a sense of survival, not knowing where their next meal may come from. But now we hoard because we believe that we must have more than our neighbor in order to survive or to be successful. Let's be honest with ourselves. How often in our lives do we focus on the things that we lack, either in our personal lives or in our community, in our country, in the world around us, rather than first focusing on the blessings that we have? It's not a new phenomenon. We hear two stories today about how people are so focused on what they don't have, a scarcity mindset, that they miss out on all the blessings they have right in front of them, which is an abundance mindset. We hear first about the Israelites, who just 45 days prior to this reading were slaves under Pharaoh. They had no freedom, they had no rights, they were abused, they had nothing of their own, and they had been praying that God would bring them out of the deadly grip of Pharaoh's hand. Their lives every day were scarcity. And amidst that scarcity, God hears their cries and provides an abundance of grace and freedom as Moses leads them out of captivity. And when they're freed from slavery and traveling to their newly promised homeland, they start to get hungry and they start to get irritable and they forget to remember how God is providing for them. And so within about 45 days, a month and a half, they forget about their newfound freedom and the abundance of the new life that awaits them. And they start debating whether they should go back to live in that life of slavery, so at least their bellies would be full. In the grand scheme of life, they are focused on one nagging aspect of scarcity when so much abundance is yet before them. God reminds them of God's abundant and giving nature by providing them for the food that they will need each day as they travel to their new homes. And in our second story today that we read from Luke, the scarcity mindsets abound. Our first example in this reading of a scarcity mindset in the midst of abundance shows up in which people? Surprise, surprise, it's the religious people. The chief priests and the teachers of the law. The same people who are the leaders of the temple of the faith that Jesus is part of are afraid of his message of abundant love and forgiveness. They're scared that this rabbi's teaching will undermine all that they have been taught to uphold. And rather than wrestling with how Jesus's abundant message of love frees them to live out lives of love, they were focused on how Jesus' love will wreck the laws and the systems and the rules for which they have grown to find comfort in. And so what do they do? Surely they would maybe talk to Jesus, right? Try to see where he's coming from. What's his point of view? Maybe try to find a place of understanding. No. They decide to try to find a way to kill him. To them, there is only so much power to go around, and they want to hold on to theirs. It's a scarcity mindset. And poor Judas is no different. He sees the role of the Messiah as the person who will come to overthrow the powers of the empire and allow the Israelite people to once again rule over their land. In his scarcity mindset, all Judas can do is focus on his limited view of what power is and should be. To To him, there's only a finite amount of true power, and it must be taken, wrestled away from someone else. And he forgets to remember how Jesus has been providing for him and the disciples and the crowds of people abundantly over the last 3 years of their mission. Jesus knows that this is what Judas is thinking, and he knows that Judas is going to betray him. And yet, once again, God shows abundant mercy and grace. Jesus invites Judas to the table, to the Last Supper, where Jesus reminds each and every one of them that they are loved and forgiven, even the one who's about to betray him. Jesus shows us that true power is not something you take from someone else, and it isn't limited in supply. True power comes in letting go of the things that hold power over us. Let me say that again. True power comes in letting go of the things that hold power over us. When that happens, we are freed to choose the path of abundant love and grace, mercy, peace, and forgiveness. My guess is that we all have something in our lives right now that holds some kind of power over us. Something that flares up our scarcity mindset and worries us. Things that keep us in that scarcity mindset instead of looking for the abundance all around us. My guess is that in most of our scenarios, that the scarcity mindset blinds us to the ways that we see God working in abundance and love. So how do we shift our thinking away from a scarcity mindset where there's only so much and I want to hoard it all for myself to a mindset of abundance where God provides more than enough? One way we begin that shift is to look for and seek out the ways that we see God's abundance in our lives. Where does God's blessings reside in your life? Well, here's a few quick ones. Do you have a roof over your head? You are blessed. Who cares if it's as big as your neighbor's house? Do you have clothing on your back? You are blessed. Who cares if it isn't brand name designer clothes? Do you have family and friends who support you? You are blessed. Who cares about the people that try to tear you down? Do not give them that power. Do you have faith in a God who loves you, chooses you, and desires the best for you? You are blessed. Who cares about what that street preacher with the megaphone is saying about earning your way out of hell and into heaven? Don't give them that power. This week, I encourage you to focus on the ways that you see the abundance of good in your life. Remember how throughout the Bible and throughout time, we are shown a God that continues to seek us out and remind us that we are loved and blessed. Think about, maybe write down the ways that God has blessed you in your life. Maybe take a day and just write down all the blessings that you think about for that particular day. Because if we learn anything from our readings today, we learn that our God is a God of abundance, who encounters us every day with love, grace, mercy, peace, and forgiveness that will never run dry. God has blessed and continues to bless each and every one of you in unique ways. Will we choose to hoard those blessings or only focus on the scarcity of things that we don't have? Or will we we let go of those things that hold power over us and share the blessings that God has given us in a spirit of love and abundance. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.